Okay. Today's daf is daf Dalet, and we're going to begin 6 lines from the top. Actually, the Gemara repeats something that we spoke about yesterday. The question we spoke about yesterday was Gufa. Boy Rabibi Barabaya. Hidik pas bataner. If somebody put dough into the oven, so as we explained yesterday, first let's describe their ovens. Their ovens had the fire from the outside, and they used to put pieces of dough on the walls of the oven, and that's how they got baked. On Shabbos, it's usur to take off that dough. That's called Rediyas HaPas. Rediyas HaPas, we explained from Tosfos yesterday, is a chokhmah of ein malacha. It's not really malacha. It's awesome at Rabbanon. Most poskim can explain because it's of the dechol. It's not something you should be doing on Shabbos, taking off pieces of dough from the oven. The question that we had was, Rabbi Barabai's question, if somebody put the dough in the oven, may he remove it? Will we allow him to take it off before the bread gets baked, or will we not? Because as we explained yesterday also, the malacha of a fia is not accomplished until the bread is baked. It doesn't necessarily have to be all the way baked, but it has to come to some level of baking. If it's not baked at all, you weren't over the malacha of a fia. And the Miches Chinuch makes a very interesting observation. He makes the following observation. What happens if somebody plants a seed on Shabbos? First malacha, Zoreya. Is it considered that he did the malacha? Absolutely. Does that seed grow anything on Shabbos? Certainly not. Not only does nothing happen to the seed on Shabbos, we know what happens with the seed is first it completely deteriorates, and then it only starts sprouting into a plant or to a fruit or whatever. So what happens if you planted a seed on Shabbos? You didn't accomplish anything. Will you be chai for Zoreya? Yes. What about a fia? What happens if you put the dough into the oven? So without going into the Gemara Shal, which we'll learn in a moment, if you're allowed to take out the oven or not, but you take out the dough or not, you took out the dough. Did you do Malachas Afiyah or not? The answer is not. Why is Afiyah different than Zriya? Zriya, as soon as they put the seed in, even if I'll take the seed out a minute later, it's too late. By Afiyah, it's only when I bake, when it turned into some sort of a bread. So he explains that the Malach of Afiyah is not just baking. The malach of a fee is having a baked item. And a baked item is only when it's somewhat baked. Zriya, the malach, is not having a fruit, not having a vegetable. The malach is doing planting. That's what Zriya means, planting. And therefore, even if the seed doesn't develop on Shabbos, and it certainly won't develop on Shabbos, and even if you'll remove it a moment afterwards, you won't be chayiv. Now, you will be chayiv. Now let's ask another shayla. You know, Al Gemara is discussing the question, if you put the dough in on Shabbos, and we'll talk about it, may you or may you not take it out. Now, let's think it through. You put, the Zman is 7:30. 7:30 you put the dough in. It's ready Shabbos. It takes an hour to bake. So our question is, can you take it out till 8:30 and save yourself a Malacha D'Oraisa? If you leave it in the whole Shabbos, it won't just bake. It'll burn. So what would be if you left it in the whole Shabbos? Would you be mechuyev? Would you have considered and it burns? Will you be mechuyev achar mechatas? Did you do a malacha or not? So it's machlokes apayiskim. Some apayiskim say, since let's say it takes an hour to bake at 8:30, it's edible. So at 8:30, you were over. At that point, you were over malacha safiya. The fact that 9:30 it's burnt doesn't change what happened at 8:30. That's how some Paiskim say. Other Paiskim, and it seems that's the majority of Paiskim feel, that a fia, if you left it to burn, you will not be over Melechus Afiyah. So if so, why didn't the Gemara give a simple etzah? The Gemara is busy. If you're allowed to take it out or you're not allowed to take it out, just leave it. So they say, Enochanami. The Gemara is only talking in a case where, let's say you put it in an hour before Shabbos, it didn't have enough time to burn. But if that was an option, obviously, that's the best option. An interesting shaila. So now we go back to our shaila.
How can you ever have the arisa on baking when you have a sraf taka de
libel? Oh, Tysus asked the question. Excellent. Tysus asked the question, we have a rule that you can never be mechuyev for melach on Shabbos without hasra, without prior warning. Warning has to be right before you do the aveira. So if baking takes some time, shorter, longer, but baking takes a little while, so how could you ever have hasra? Tysus asked the question. And Tysus has a very interesting teretz. Tysus says like this, where is there a concept of hasra sofik? He says the classical example of hasra sofik is somebody makes a shvur, he makes a vow that if I eat this piece of cake, I'm not allowed to eat that other piece of cake. And he goes and eats the piece of cake that he made the shvur that he's not allowed to eat. When he ate that second piece of cake, we can't say for sure that he's going to eat the first piece of cake and be over the shvur. He may never eat it. So that's called hasra sofik. He says when you put something into baking, that's Tysus quotes the Rival. When you put something into baking, it's going to get baked. Under all normal circumstances, it's going to get baked. Yeah, it takes time. But that is already considered that you did that Asura was right before the Aveira, and it's not considered Asura Safik. The Tysus of the Ramask Kan Shiavai.
What's the definition of Surya different than the definition of Afiyah?
You know, the question you're asking is
how
not.
How do we know?
How do we know? The Rishash asked that question. It's the Rishash's question. Ask the Gemara. So now we go back to Rabbi Rabbaya. Are you allowed to take out the dough or not? So Rabbi Rabbaya wants to understand what's going on here. What is the story? Give me a story. Hey, Chidami, what happened here? Elaim b'shagig. When the person put in the dough, it was b'shagig. He didn't know it's Shabbos. He didn't know that it's also to do this on Shabbos. V'lo yitker. And he doesn't realize as the dough is being baked. L'manatiroi. So who's asking any questions? He's living in a happy world. He doesn't realize he did anything wrong. Ve'elav, what happened was like this. When he put it in, he was b'shagig. He didn't know he was allowed to do it. He forgot it's Shabbos, whatever. The hadavitkin, afterwards he chaps. Oi, I'm not allowed to do this in Shabbos. Oi, it's Shabbos. Sumi mechayiv, would he be mechuyiv for anyway? V'tnan, we're going to learn a Mishnah later in the Masechta. Kol chayav echatos, you never mechuyiv akar mechatos for doing a malach of Shabbos b'shagig. Einen chayavim, unless he was a shaygig throughout. And here, he will taka started as a shaygig, but then he turns into a mazid. So he's anyway not a shaygig. So the question is,
he's not a mazid for the baking.
He is. He's a mazid as soon as he realizes that something happened, that's called a mazid. Shaygig is only if you're shaygig from the beginning of the process to the end of the process.
But if it already started baking and then
right.
Realized in the middle, what mazid act did he do?
He doesn't have to do a mazid. The idea is enough. You don't have to ask. You just have the idea. All you need is the idea. Ella, what happened? El b'mazid. It's b'mazid. He did a b'mazid. And the question here is like this. He put the dough in. He knew he did the wrong thing. And like we said before, he got the hasra. And then he, you know, he becomes a Baal Tshuva. He says, you know, I did the wrong thing. And he wants to avoid a Chiyuv Skila. And the question is, do we allow him to take out the dough and only be over the Rabbanon to avoid getting a Chiyuv Skila? El b'mezid. And his goal is, Kodim Shiova, so ask the Gemara, Kodim Shiova Day is a Skila Mibayalei. Why did he say, Kodim Shiova Day Chiyuv Chattas? If he did have a maze, it should be kind of a day chiv skila. So now we still don't have an answer. So now the Gemara says, so either you could say it's taka before skila, and you'll have to change, or Omer of Sheish is a different teretz. Loilem, it's talking about shagik. Olmanatir lachem. Taka, he won't realize that he did anything wrong. The question is, may I, who saw what happened, take it out to prevent him from doing a chiv chatas, maskler of sheishes. So sheishes asked Avi's question: the chi oimer loy l'adam chatei kidei shiiska chavercha. Do we tell a person that you should do a sin in order that the which redeems a path, so to avoid the person from getting a chatas? Ella amravashi. So Ravashi says, you're right. We have to say it's b'mezid. I b'mezid. We have a question. What does Rabbi Bibi Bai say? Kon shiavo dei chiv chatas. He should have said kon shiavo dei chiv skila. And says the Gemara, you're right. Beim a kon shiavo dei is a skila. Doesn't mean chiv skila. It doesn't mean chatas. It means skila. Now, let's ask a question that Tysus asks. So we're saying now that if the person did it b'mezid, we won't let him take off the dough. Right? We won't let him take off the dough. Even though by not taking off the dough, he's going to end up with a chiyuv skila. Now the question is, will he get skila? Now, if it was up to him, he would have taken out the dough. He just listened to today's daf yom yishir, and he's not taking off the dough because we told him not to. So for that, we should kill him. So Tosha says Hitaka won't get skila. He'll get an issa skila, but he won't actually get skila. How can we kill a person for listening to us? If he would have taken it out, he would have only been over the rabbana and not gotten skila. The Gemara means, Tosha says, an issa skila, but not a chiv skila. But now the question is, if it's only talking about issa skila, so we could have said it's talking about issa chattis. And then we wouldn't have a problem. Tosha asked the question. So the Ramban, and Tosha doesn't answer the question. Tosha says, you're right. The Gemara, Taisa says, you could have said Issa Skila, you could have said Issa Chattis, but we said Issa Skila. Why? So the Ramban says, if we're talking about Isurim, not Chiyuvim, we'd rather call it Skila to show the severity of the Averim. And Taka says, the Gemara, Rav Achab Reid Rababa, Rav Masna Behedja, Amr Abibi Barabaya, Hidvik Paspatana, Hitiroi Lerudoisai, Kainishav Ledei Issa Skila. But Chiyuv Skila you certainly won't get. Now, the Gemara introduced a very important concept here. We don't tell a person that you do an Aveira in order to help your friend not do an Aveira. So there's a very, very important Tosfos here that talks about, is this truly the rule? And Tosfos brings a number of situations throughout Shas that people did do Aveiras, smaller Aveiras, to prevent somebody else from doing an Aveira. So what is the rule? So Tosfos says three exceptions. One exception, Taisa says, is that if it's a mitzvah rabba, that means if the person, I'm doing an aveira in order that the other person should have the opportunity to do a big mitzvah. Another exception, Taisa says, is a mitzvah the rabbin. Taisa quotes the Gemara we learned from Sefta Brachas. The Gemara Sefta Brachas says, you're not allowed to free an Eved Kanani. But the Gemara said there was a Tana that freed an Eved Kanani, they that should have a minion. Aye, how do you do an aveira? Just that they should have a minion. For mitzvah the rabbin, you're allowed to do it. Now the question is, what does a mitzvah derabim mean? Does a mitzvah derabim mean a mitzvah that I'm part of that rabbin? In other words, I freed my slave, so I should have a minion. Or is pshat mitzvah derabim that you need a minion? I already daven, but there's a group that needs a minion, and I'm freeing my slave for that group. Is that already considered a mitzvah derabim also? So the Taisus doesn't talk about this. The Mefarshim asked this question in Taisus. The Ksav Sofer says an explanation. Why taka are at times a person allowed to do an aveira, kedei that another person should be saved from a bigger aveira? Just call Yisrael Ravens Elazar. We're all one. We're all connected. So if we're all connected, so what's the difference? I daven. But if you daven b'minyan, what are we saying? I have a share in your mitzvah. So mitzvah the rabbin does not necessarily mean a mitzvah that I'm part of the rabbin. As long as it's the mitzvah that the rabbim have a nor from that mitzvah, I'm allowed to do that small aveira. And then Taisus also includes, but of course, we have to look at the person who did the aveira. If he did the aveira with pshia, he negligently, he didn't say, I don't care, so I don't have to save him. If he doesn't care, why do I have to care? But if the person who did the aveira did not do it with pshia, then it's different. So now, just one shaila that I saw, when we say en arim l'adam chatei kedei shi'iske chaveroi, so I don't have to do an aveira to save you. Where does my family stand? Is my family considered like somebody else, or is my family considered like me? We say ishte kegufoi. I'm responsible for the members of my family. How do I view my family? Is it the same as everybody else in Klal Yisrael, or is my family somewhat different? Maybe if we're going to take the Ksav Sofer's approach, everybody's the same. It's either me or not me, and I have responsibility to everybody else, and where I'm allowed to, I'm allowed to, where I'm not allowed to, I'm not allowed to. The fact that this woman is my wife, or these are my children, shouldn't make a difference. The Beis Yosef talks about the following situation. It was a different world. There was a girl who was kidnapped by missionaries, and they were going to take her to convert her. And the question was, would they allow to be Mechal Shabbos to save the girl? So the Rashba says, why should I be Mechal Shabbos? For you. No, there was also kinds of nefashas. They weren't going to harm her. So Beis Yosef says, since saving this girl, and even if the girl's a ketana, who's not yet mechuy b'mitzvahs, we're talking about a lifetime of shmiras mitzvahs, and she didn't do anything wrong, I'm allowed to save her. But says the Mishnah Berurah, what about if the person on his own went to convert, and am I allowed to be mechal Shabbos to save him? The answer is no, because Tosfos just said that the only time we allow you to do an Aveira is you didn't do it b'pshia. But if this person did it b'pshia, I have no right to be mechal Shabbos. Now, I'm going to ask you another interesting shaila I saw. We're talking that at certain circumstances you may be allowed to do Radiyas HaPas to save you from doing a big Aveira, as b'shayig, whatever. What about if this was done on Pesach? And taking off the dough, I'll be over by Yirah by Yimotzeh. Am I allowed to do Radiyas HaPas for by Yirah by Yimotzeh? Where the question is that I'll be over by Yirah by Yimotzeh. What? So it's an interesting shayla on the Paiskim. Some Paiskim say that there would never be a heter for this on Shabbos Pesach. The only time you would have a heter is not Pesach. Other Paiskim say if you mevapel the chametz as you take it down, so you never take ownership of it. So even though we're not relying on, we don't normally rely on bittel, for the rice, so we do rely on a bittel, and we could do that. One more interesting shayla. What's the halacha if somebody has somebody in the house who's sick, and he takes and puts a pat on the oven? He's allowed to. For a chayla. It's a kanas nefashis. Then, hopefully, the chayla gets better and he doesn't need the food. Am I allowed to take off the food or not? Let's say it would be a question of Radiyas HaPas. Why are we doing it in our Gemara? We're doing it in our Gemara because he's going to be over Melech HaSafiya. Here, he had a right to be over Melech HaSafiya, because it was a tzar chayla. So then I shouldn't be allowed to do the Radiyas HaPas, because I'm not saving any Aveira. There's no Aveira. On the other hand, the bread is getting baked on Shabbos, which is inappropriate unless you have a real need. The need no longer exists, and I shouldn't take it off. The Paiskim say that you should leave it. One more shayla. What happens if somebody, and this doesn't even have to do with Chilul Shabbos, let's say somebody put a pot on the oven Friday afternoon, not Shabbos. And then he realizes, and that you're allowed to do, and then he realizes this shayla of Yisrael Salam to rest. And then he realized that the pot is treif. The food in the pot is treif, it's basar b'chalav. Food that's treif is muksa. So am I allowed to take that pot off the oven? Continues the Gemara. Left you something to think about.
He doesn't need this pot.
Pasha ani is yaday. He doesn't need this part, otherwise it's a circle from the time. Pasha ani is yaday. So why do we learn the Mishnah? The whole situation that we learned in the Mishnah was that the ani picked up his hand and put something in, which something was taken out of the ani's hand, something was put into the ani's hand. But ask the Gemara, my chayiv, why is there any chayiv? As we described, melechus etzar requires an akira anocha. An akira anocha requires a dalad, a makam chashiv. A makam of dalad al dalad. A hand is in a dalad al dalad. But being akir v'anocho, mi al gab a makam dalad al dalad. The leka. Ask Tosfos, and where do you know that you need a dalad al dalad? He's telling me the Gemara assumes that you certainly need a dalad al dalad. Why does the Gemara assume that? So Tosfos says one thing is because we explained that how do you know hotzah is also on Shabbos? Because it says in pasuk al yotzi ish m'mekaymai. Mekayim means a place. A place always is a dalad al dalad. Or, you could say it al pi svara. For something to be considered chashiv, to be considered an akira, it has to come up from a makam chashiv. A makam chashiv is a dalad al dalad. Answers the Gemara. Amarava, Hamani, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Rabbi Kiva. The Rabbi Kiva holds, loy bin a makam abba al arba. You don't need a makam dalad al dalad. Where do we see that? Does not. Rabbi Kiva speaks in a Mishnah later in the Masechta such a situation. Hazarik Moshe Sayachid Moshe Sayachid. He started throwing something from one building and he threw it across the street to the next building. Rishus Rabim Ba'emtsa. And there's a Rishus Rabim and it passes over Rishus Rabim. So, if you look at it simply, the person did not do a malacha deraisa, because there was no akira and anocha from Rishus HaYochid to Rishus HaRabim. Still, Rabbi Kiva Mechayiv, the Chaman Poitrim. Rabbi Kiva says he's Chayiv. Why is he Chayiv? Says the Gemara. Rabbi Kiva Sava, a new Sfara. I'm reading, Klut Kamishon Chedamya. Something suspended over the ear is considered as if it came to rest. So therefore, it rests in the Rishus HaRabim. Now, how does Kluta work? So Tosfos explains that Kluta means that something is considered like a rested in mid-air. So you see, you don't need a dalet al dalet because it's a mid-air and still considered rested. And the Chazanish says that even according to Rashi, that says that Kluta means like it rested on the earth, on the Aretz, it's still, Lemaisa is not on the Aretz. So Lemaisa, you don't have a mokum that's dalet al dalet. And it's still considered munach, so you see that the dalet al dalet is not required. Rabbanan Savri Loyam in Klut Kamishon Chedamya. Ask the Gemara. So now what are we saying? That Rabbi Kiva holds Klut Kamishon Huncha. So you see, you don't need a Mokum Dalad al Dalad. And he's going to be a Tana of our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. Lememra. So what are we saying? The Pshita Le Lerava. The Klut Kamishon Chedamya. That only Rabbi Kiva holds of Klut Kamishon Chedamya. And where will Rabbi Kiva say Klut Kamishon Huncha? Of Tarcha Sarah Pligi. They are talking in an area below 10, which is the Rishus HaRabim. Because we explained yesterday, Rishus HaRabim only goes up to 10 Tfakim. And that's the Machlaikis, and that's what Rabbi Kiva holds. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that? But my boy Leila Rabba, Rabba had a question. The boy Rabba asked the following question. Is, in learning that Mishnah, is the Machlaikis of Rabbi Kiva and Rabbonin, Lamatim Yud Pligi, Dafke Lamatim Yud, or Bahapligi, and this is going to be the Machlokes. The Rekiva Sover, that even though it never came to a full rest, I say Klut Kamishon Chedamya. Rabban and Savri, and the Rabban hold, Lemini Klut Kamishon Chedamya. However, Lamal Miyud, since it's not in the ear space of Rosh Hashanah, the Rehaka Potter, everybody's going to hold that it's Potter. Why? Because it's Lamal Miyud. And everybody will not learn Sorek Mimoshe. The Kalam Loya Pin and Zarek Moshe. What does that mean? You know, the Mishkan was dismantled and assembled many times during Klal Yisrael's travels in the Midbar. We've also explained that the Mishkan is the prototype for all Malachas. What happened by the dismantling? What happened was they had an interesting system. The Levim were on wagons. The wagons themselves were Rishus HaYochid. They had the requisite measurements. And they passed things over from one wagon to the next wagon. That means they were moshit from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. Now the wagons were above 10 Tfachim. So carrying something from one wagon to another wagon is certainly awesome. Moshit, passing it over. Now, that nobody argues. The question now is, what about throwing? Do we learn throwing from passing? And what we're saying now is that everybody will agree that throwing is different than passing. Because certainly, those kroshim, those parts of the Mishkan were not thrown. Why were they not thrown? Either, Machlokes Rishonim, either because they would have gotten broken by getting thrown, they could fall and break, or it's a terrible design, it's an embarrassment. You have the Mishkan, and you're throwing it around. So, it was certainly not thrown, and we can't learn throwing from passing at this point of the Gemara. But now we have a very fundamental question. Why isn't Moshe Av Melacha? What did we explain? What are considered the Ovis? We consider Ovis anything that was in the Mishkan. Here we're saying that Hashata was part of the process of the Mishkan. So why don't we have Moshe as one of the Melachas? So the Rishonim answer that since we said Hatzah is a Melachas in the law, Hatzah is different than all other Melachas. And all other Melachas, we look at each action that happened in the Mishkan and we describe it as an Av. And Hatzah, we consider all of the Maisa Hatzahs, all the different variations, under one Klal of Hatzah. That's one way of learning. Or another way of learning, Rabbi Kiva Savi Yapin Zarek Moshe, Rabbanan Savi Lo Yapin Zarek Moshe, Avalamat No, let's start again. Oy duma. Lamal miyud pligi. The machlaikis is lamal miyud. Or ba pligi. The rekiva sava yapin and zarek memayshit. Even though the Mishkan was actually passing, I'm going to learn zarek memayshit. Rabban and savri lo yapin and zarek memayshit. Av lamat miyud. The rehakol chayif. Why? My time I'm reading the klut kmishon chadami. If that's the correct version, so that even the Rabbanan hold of Kluta. So why does Rav say that the Tan of our Mishnah is Rav Akiva? It could even be the Rabbanan. Because according to this version, even the Rabbanan agree with Klut Kemishon Chadamim. Ask Taisus, who says that this version is incorrect? Maybe this version is correct, and Taka, the Rabbanan hold of Kluta, but the Rabbi chose to say that it's going like Rabbi Kiva. Says the Ramban, very simple. If the Rabbanan hold of Kluta, why would Rabbi say that the Mishnah is going according to one daya, the daya of Rabbi Kiva, when I can have the Rabbanan? If Rabbi had to tell us that the Mishnah is only going according to Rabbi Kiva, it must be because he holds that the Rabbanan don't hold of Kluta. As says the Mahalakash, Yataka right. Bas the Baya, after he asked the question, Hadif Shite lay, the Sover, and he's going to hold that only Rabbi Kiva holds of Klut Kemishon Chadamya, but not the Rabbanan. So right now, where are we up to? That we're saying that Rabbi Kiva holds of Klut Kemishon Chadamya, and you don't require Dalet al Dalet. So one question that Avni Nezer asks, before we go further, ask Avni Nezer, one of the yesoides of Hilchos Shabbos is that the malacha has to be a malacha miskayemis. Over here, I don't have a malacha miskayemis. The malacha is very transient. It's flying. It's flying in the air. That's not a malacha miskayemis. And yet, Rabbi Kiva is saying, Yo'ivar, the malacha vaitzah. Why? So Rav Nezer says what we just said before, that vaitzah is a malacha geruah. What makes it geruah? That it doesn't have any permanence, and it's still considered a malacha. Now we have to say Taisus Yisharim's kasha. Taisus Yisharim says, you know, that Kluta, we're using Kluta as a chumrah. It's a gvaldik chumrah. It didn't come to rest, but it's considered like it came to rest. But you know, you could use Kluta to teach us a kula. Kluta could teach us a kula, that one of the ways you over haitzah, we said if something travels, dalet amos precious rabbin. But if you say Kluta kemishahuncha, it never went, because every second it started and stopped, started and stopped. So you'll never have Dalet Amos. That's Tosfos Yesharim's kasha. Answers the Tosfos Yesharim. He doesn't explain himself, but he says, Kluta we only say L'chumra, we don't say L'kula. The only time we say Kluta is when an L'chumra will be achieved, not when a Kula be achieved.
So how would it work with Kula?
That every second it's a new stop.
Standing
I'm standing in Rishus Rabin. And I throw something, Dalet Amos, Rishus Rabim. I'll never have Dalet Amos because it keeps on stopping.
From Rishus Rabim to Rishus
Rabim. In Rishus Rabim, Dalet Amos, Rishus Rabim. So he says, I only say L'chumra, not L'kula. So besides trying to understand that, there's Be'emes Akasha. The Gemara Masech the Gittin says that for a woman to be considered divorced, the get has to arrive to her. So what happens if a woman is sitting in her yard, or a woman has a yard, and you throw the get into her yard? So even though the get did not fall into the yard, it just came into the airspace, I say klut kemishoncha. But I'm saying it for a kula. She's not going to be an eishes ish anymore. If she lives with another man, she won't be mechuyav nisa. Taisus Yesharim just said that we only say klut l'chumra, not l'kula.
Unless we say it's a schus to be married. Tav,
don't wait. We're talking halacha. We're talking halacha. So therefore, other Rishonim want to answer that klut kemishoncha is only used when you're going from one rishus to another rishus. But in one rishus itself, you won't say kluta. Our Gemara here is going from rishus yoch to rishus rabbin. That's where we say, that's the Mishnah later in the Masechta. That's where I say kluta kemishuncha. But in Dalet Amos itself, in rishus rabbin, in one rishus itself, to say kluta kemishuncha, I won't.
What happens if you throw over her chatzah? Flies over her chatzah.
Taka maybe won't. You'd still.
And hers. And it's only because that she's divorced.
Right, but it's going from one rishus to another. Whenever you're going from one rishus to another, it doesn't make a difference. It's l'kula l'chumra. We always say kluta. It went from my rishus to her rishus.
It flew over her rishus.
So, but kluta puts it down.
even though she's not going to be the kula.
Right, because we say kluta always. For one rishus to another rishus, I always say kluta, sayla kula, sayla chumra. In one rishus, I never say kluta, sayla kula, sayla chumra. That's how other rishonim want to learn
even
the Gemara.
So even if it lands up someplace else.
Right, even if it lands up someplace else. Not as an interesting shayla, just going to leave it for shayla. Mishnah Berurah has the shayla. The halacha is like this. Let's say you make a bracha on your tefillin shel Rosh. And before you put the tefillin on, you speak. So you have to make the bracha again. What happens if you have the tefillin over your head? You didn't actually put them on your head, but you put them near your head. Would that be considered kluta? Will you say kluta, not to have to make another bracha? So he said, it's in the same rishus. The halacha is, he says you would have to make a new bracha. Ask the Gemara. So we established the Rekiva as the Tanavah Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Vedima, you know, where did we find Rekiva was Mekel? He was Mekel and Hanocha. So Vedima Hanocha who deloy boya? Hakira boya. Maybe by Akira he'll be more Machmer. And what's the reason it should be more Machmer by Akira than by Hanocha? Two svaros. First of all, if we say the reason that we need a dollar of dollars because the pasuk says, Al Yotzi Ishmi Mekoimai, what's that pasuk talking about? That pasuk is talking about an Akira. So by Akira, I need a dollar al dalit. But not by a Hanocha. And also the Svar works. Because the Svar is that when I start a Malacha, I have to start it properly. But Hanocha is only the Gemar Malacha. We talked such a Svar yesterday that the Mishnah only mentions Akira, it's not Hanochas. So we don't have a proof that a Rekiva doesn't require a dalit al dalit for Akira. Ella Amar of Yosef, who is the town of our Mishnah? We're back to the drawing board. Hamani Rebbe. Ask the Gemara, hi Rebbe. Elai Maha Rebbe, the Tanya. Gemara said like this, Zara v'nocha gabaziz kalshu, if I threw something and it only rested on a small protrusion, Rebbe Mechaev, v'chama patron. So l'chai, why is Rebbe Mechaev? It's not a dalet a dalet. It must be, because Rebbe doesn't require dalet a dalet. Answer to Gemara, that has nothing to do with dalet a dalet. Hasel k'demina l'mayim l'kamon. The explanation of that machlokes is like Abaye says. Dom Abaye, hocha on the ilan on Rishus HaYochid. We're talking about a tree that's in Rishus HaYochid. The knife and knife of Rishus HaRabim. And the branches are coming out of Rishus HaRabim. The zark v'noch ha'noifai. And it landed on the branches. The branches don't have a dalet al dalet. The tree obviously does have a dalet al dalet. The Rebbe saw shemi shadi knife basa ikroi. And that's considered like it landed on the tree itself. But that's only there where the branches are connected to a tree. But what about in a case where you will have just a small place, a ziz, it's not part of a tree, it won't be chayiv. You know why? Because it's not a dalet al dalet. So I still don't have a proof. El ha Rebbe. Must be this Rebbe. The Tanya, Zarek Moshe Surab, Moshe Surab. Just the opposite case that we learned before. He threw from one Rishus Rabim to another Rishus Rabim, Rishus Yochid Be'emtsa. And it passes through Rishus Yochid. Rebbe Mechayiv, Becham Paitrim. Rebbe says Yechayiv, and Becham Paitrim. V'om Rebbe Yehuda Mishmu. When Rebbe says Yechayiv, Hami are Yechayiv? Mechayiv are Rebbe Shtayim, Yechayiv twice. Achs Mishum Etzo, V'achs Mishum Echnasa. It didn't actually rest in Rishus Rabim, but we say the Sfarah, that it tells us that as if it rested and then went off again. I was always just in the air. You see, they don't need a makam dalet al dalet. Alma loy bi'i akira v'loy anoch al gab a makam dalet al dalet. Ask the Gemara. You can't bring a proof from there. Ha'itmar Allah, Rav Shmuel da Amri Tavayu, loy mechayiv el Rebbe. You know when Rebbe said yechayiv el b'shus ha'yochim mekura. That the Rishus HaYochid that it flew through. Again, it was going from one Rishus HaRabim to another Rishus HaRabim, and it flew through Rishus HaYochid. And that Rishus HaYochid was an enclosed area. It was a house. That meaning that Rebbe says, what's the Svara? Basic command the Malyadam. The Halacha looks at the house as if it's completely enclosed. So it landed on an actual area. That's Dalet al Dalet. Let's learn the Rashi. The Rashi on top of the summon. Command the Molly. Dovah Sosim Mikol Tzad. A house that's completely enclosed from all sides. Have a Kemolech Feitzim Ad Gagoy. The Halacha looks at the house as it's full of objects till the roof. The Ein Avir Chash of Avir. Since the entire house is completely enclosed, the Halacha does not view this house as having any open space. Hilchach, ka nizrik l'toychoy, anything that comes into the house, have a kemunach. It's as if it rested on one of the chafetzim that the halacha views is in this house. But what about a situation where, not like that, where our Gemara, where you have a hand in Rosh Hashanah, the Rosh Hashanah, what are we going to say? V'chi teima, you'll tell me that the Rosh Hashanah that the Oni is standing in is a Rosh Hashanah also that has a roof over it. And therefore I'll say the same svara that we just learned in Rashi, that the whole Rosh Hashanah is full. V'chi teima hachanami makura, says the Gemara, ha-teinach Rosh Hashanah, in a Rosh Hashanah I could say a concept of makura. I could say that Rosh Hashanah is makura. Actually, the classical case of Rosh Hashanah is a house with walls and a ceiling. Rosh Hashanah makura mehava. Is it possible to have Rosh Hashanah makura? Because as we've said so many times, what is the prototype for Malach HaShabbos? The Mishkan. So when we look at the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah, we have to look at the Rosh Hashanah and the Rosh Hashanah in the Midbar. What was the Rosh Hashanah in the Midbar? A totally open area. Didn't have a ceiling, it didn't have a dome over it. So Rosh Hashanah can't have a Makura. So, and that's what the Gemara says, V'om Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, Omer Rebbe Abba, Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav, Hamav HaChefetz, Dalar Amos Rosh Hashanah Makura, Potter. Why? Because that's not considered Rosh Hashanah. Why is it not considered Rosh Hashanah? L'fi She'en Adoyim El Digle Midbar. Now, only in our Mishnah, where is he standing? He's standing in a Rosh Hashanah. The Rosh Hashanah, obviously, we just said, doesn't have a dome over it. Because if it had a dome over it, by definition, it would not be a Rosh Hashanah. So where do you have the Dalar HaDalot? Back to our original Shaila. Because Rebbe, that we proved, was only talking about a Rosh Hashanah Makura. That's why it's a Dalar HaDalot. So we still have our Shaila. Where do you have... how could you have an Akira or a Hanacha without a Dalar HaDalot?